and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our present study of the Word of God, we're looking at the seed and sowing and the reaping. And that's what we want to look at today is sowing and reaping. And of course, I'm speaking of personal evangelism. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are to go out and tell people how they too can go to heaven. It would be something that we should do because Christ first loved us. And now we need to go forth and show other people that Christ loves them as well and that they too can go to heaven because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're right now concerning personal evangelism. That's personal. That's you, that's me, personal evangelism, those of us who are saved. Well, let's look at the term sowing and reaping. And let's do some assessing here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, Paul the Apostle says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Well, you know, the seasoned sowers have come to understand that the more they sow, the more favorable the results will be. If we desire to reap more, we must be willing to sow more. I believe that many people fail in the area of personal evangelism because they sow sparingly, and they get discouraged by the meager results. If we increase the level of sowing, the level of reaping will rise proportionately. Again, to avoid discouragement, we need to set goals on how much we sow, not on how many are saved. You see, quite often one sows and another reaps. Winning souls involves both sowing and reaping. Jesus used these terms in talking to his disciples in John chapter 4. And I'd like to read that right now, John 4, 35 through 38. Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Now, in these verses, don't get the idea here that Jesus is saying you sow when in order to go to heaven. That's not what he's speaking of here. He's saying that some people will sow the seed and others will reap the benefits. In other words, they will reap the harvest. Now, when I say reap the benefits, that means that those of us who see a person come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's a benefit for us because we see that. We see the evidence there that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, God opens doors for prepared workers. It must be something that we prepare for. Many people who would want to win souls, they simply do not know how, or they do not want to learn how. But Jesus Christ has given us the equipment that we need, and that equipment, of course, is the Word of God. Well, God opens doors for prepared workers. When we're ready to go forth and give out the Word of God, when we've prepared, then God's going to give the increase. And I would say to you today, be prepared to go out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And what better work is there? We can't ask for a better work than to tell people about Jesus Christ. If we desire to be used in God's providence to reach those who are seeking the truth, then we must prepare ourselves to be useful. Now, the principle of preparation applies to both individuals and congregations in local churches. Individuals are to prepare themselves to lead souls to Christ. Congregations must also be ready to welcome new converts into the family of God, where they can be nurtured and matured and disciplined and protected during a vital stage of their newfound life. Now, I see that many congregations may not be able to reach others because they have not prepared themselves to be a place where babes in Christ will be cared for. Do you really believe that the Lord, through His providence, would open doors for a congregation filled with carnal Christians who are not willing to disciple the new Christian? If we prepare ourselves to be useful to the Lord, He will open doors of opportunity for us to reach those in our community. I've actually heard of more than one church, the church family, some of those in that church, in those church families, some have made comments that we don't want any new people in this church. If someone comes into this church, we're going to snub them. And believe it or not, that actually takes place in many churches. But God has said that we're to open the doors to the people who get saved. We're to open the doors to people coming in to get saved, to receive the Word of God with gladness. That they get saved. We're to help those individuals who have trusted Jesus Christ to feel at home with us, because one of these days, those same individuals will be with us in glory. We're preparing right now to live in heaven. That is, those of us who are saved. And we're just waiting for the Lord to come back and say, come up hither and receive us unto Himself in the clouds. We look forward to that, but we need to look forward now while we're here to work, to tell other individuals about Jesus Christ and the great things that He's done for us. He saved us and we're on our way to heaven. And so these other individuals that we witness to, they need to rejoice when they trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They'll be able to because they know Him as Lord and Savior. Well, there's many things that we look at in when we look at personal evangelism. But one of the greatest things that we fail to see sometimes is this. Prayer is the catalyst in personal evangelism. You see, prayer is vital. Now, the prayers of Cornelius prompted God to take notice in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, this was a good man. He was doing, you know, what he thought was good. And I believe he was trying to find favor with God, but he had not trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But verse 3 goes on to say in Acts chapter 10, he saw, this is Cornelius, in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Well, Peter was a man given to prayer that the Lord chose to reach Cornelius. Once again, Peter was simply a man who was listening to the Lord, and Cornelius was a man who wanted to do things right. He wanted to go to heaven, but there was something that he needed. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Well, Peter went up there. He's already been approached now to go to see Cornelius, but he went up to the housetop to pray. And you see, prayer can be a catalyst that starts the process of God's providence in bringing together the lost and the one prepared to plant the seed. And that is of God's Word. That is His Word. We need to pray that God would lead and guide us and help us to go to individuals who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I believe that God will lead us to people who are ready and willing to do what God wants done, and that's to receive Jesus as Savior. Now, that doesn't always happen, but we need to pray that God's going to lead us and guide us. And we need to pray for individuals that they would approach God even before we're there to prepare their hearts so that when the Word of God is presented to them, they'll be ready to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, when we have prepared ourselves to be useful to the Lord and then diligently pray something like this, Lord, lead me to some soul today. When we do that, I believe doors will open and we will begin to find souls to share the gospel with. God's going to lead us and He's going to guide us and help us through our personal evangelism. Well, there's such a thing as prayer and perseverance. And these are the keys to success in evangelism, I believe. Those who persist in sowing the seed with prayer will eventually see the seed bear fruit. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Well, sometimes we get discouraged, don't we? I get discouraged. But as soon as that old discouragement comes along, something clicks within me, and I say, oh, wait a minute now. I'm not to be discouraged. I'm on top of the world because Jesus first loved me, and He saved my soul. And the Bible teaches me in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable. In other words, don't quit. Keep on keeping on. Keep moving forward and letting God work in my life. When something happens to discourage me, I'm to abound in the work of the Lord. In other words, I'm to excel. I'm to do what is necessary in my life to help other people in their life to come to Jesus Christ. And the verse says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it continues, it says, "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And once again, we can get discouraged. But one of the keys is this: when you're soul winning, do not depend upon yourself to save anyone. It's all up to God. What He's asked us to do is give out the Word, to tell other people about Jesus, how that He came into the world. He was born of a virgin. He came into the world. He lived a sinless, perfect life. His life ended on the cross of Calvary. He died. He was buried. And He resurrected on that third day. He was sinlessly perfect and laid down His life for you and I. He took the sins of our lives on Himself. No man has suffered like Jesus Christ. He took our sins upon Himself. He died. He shed His blood. And because He died and shed His blood, you and I are saved. And that person who needs Jesus Christ today, they can be saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be giving out the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today as your Savior? If you've never trusted Him, you need to say, oh Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I want to go your way, Lord, and your way leads to heaven. I trust you to save me so that one day I'll see you personally. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart today, and He'll save you. Because He came to seek and to save those who are lost. If you're lost, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost. And He came to seek and to save you. Call upon Him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.